Hello and welcome in Jesus' name. My name is John Kester. You are listening to a recorded sermon of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship. I pray that you will be blessed and encouraged as we share the Word of God together. This fellowship is an outreach of Theological Foundations Ministries. We invite you to visit our website at www.theologicalfoundations.com. and www.marriagedivorce.com. There you will find a wealth of messages, material, and online teachings, and books which you can download, copy, and burn to a CD, and distribute to your friends, family, freely without charge or obligation. To partner with us, please go to www.theologicalfoundations.com and click on the links for How Can I Help? Now, let's get out our Bibles as we follow along with today's message. Here is the chaplain of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship, Stephen Wilcox.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you said that whenever we come to you, Lord, and there's any two or three of us together, Lord, that you are there with us. To all the people that are here and to those that are listening to this subsequently, Lord, by CD or the tape, Lord, I just ask that you be with them, same year with us. Open up our hearts and open up our ears, Lord. And I ask that you touch my mind and heart, that nothing that I think or nothing that I say, Lord, will not be of you. Give me your courage, Lord, and your wisdom and your purpose this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn with me to what our text is going to do today. It's going to be the book of Psalms 107. In fact, it's going to be the whole chapter, from one time to another. We're going to begin with a couple of verses, and then we're going to go from there. I'm going to be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. Please feel free to use whichever version that you prefer. That is Psalms 107, and we're going to begin with verses 1 to 3. I'll go ahead. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the hand of the foe and has gathered them from the lands and from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Unquote. This Psalm of David is for the redeemed. It's for those of us that have been redeemed by him, that are born again by him, where he has breathed new life into our dead souls. And imperfect as we are, and perhaps even as confused as what we are, and with limited understanding, all those that get up when they fall, all those who learn his ways, usually the hard way, and who have left their life behind, that pick up their cross and follow him. These are the redeemed. This psalm is for them. This psalm is for us. This psalm is for me. This psalm is for you. If we love the Lord God with all of our heart and soul, mind and strength, and we are walking in obedience to his call in our life, and follow him in the light that he's given us. This psalm is not for those that are not redeemed. It is for those that are. In Psalm 107, there's no great mysteries that are revealed here. The arguments between Arminianism and Calvinism and between the theologians that have this axe to grind or that axe to grind, they're not settled here. For God has declared that this particular portion of Holy Writ to pertain not to those who fall down and refuse to get up. It's not to those that turn away and stay away. It is not for those that do not repent, or it is not for those that do not turn back to him. It's not about them. It's about us and our lives spent with him. It's about him, the Redeemer and the redeemed. And it is about the redemption that is provided by the Redeemer. So the first thing is first, to give thanks according to verses 1 to 3. And then it says, let the redeemed proclaim so, that they are redeemed. I cannot help but be flooded with the melody and the words this morning from my youth being brought up in the church. When I was planning for this message, the old hymn, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb by Fanny Crosby, rings in my ears. She wrote, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. The verses go on to say, redeemed but so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence in me doth continually dwell. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me song in the night. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon, with the spirits made perfect, at home by the Lord I shall be. Quoting the book Amazing Grace by Kenneth Osbeck, he wrote, the word redeemed implies the idea of a slave standing on a trader's auction block, being offered to the highest bidder. At last, the price is paid by a compassionate new owner, unquote. But just like the prophet Hosea, who redeemed Gomer after she betrayed him and became so entangled in sin that its consequences found her being sold as a slave on the auction block, and her husband Hosea, at the beckoning of God, because of his love for Gomer, being a reflection and example of God's love for his bride Israel, Gomer was bought by Hosea. She was redeemed by him in the same way that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The author goes on to quote, out of gratitude for this deliverance, we cling to our new master and we lovingly determine to serve him forever, unquote. Let's go now and read what God's word on the content of this psalm by turning to its final verse, the homework assignment, so to speak, as it were. Please turn with me to the end of chapter 107, verse 43, quote, let whoever is wise pay attention to these things and consider the Lord's acts of faithful love, unquote. The redeeming prophet Hosea said it in this way, in Hosea chapter 14, verse 9, let whoever is wise understand these things, and whoever is insightful recognize them, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them, unquote. Hosea says, if you want to be wise, seek to understand these things. The Lord's ways are always right. And if you are redeemed and you are made righteous in him, you will walk in them. The rebellious, however, will trip and stumble if they don't walk in them. God seems to divide in this chapter in Psalms 107, he seems to divide up the redeemed into three different categories, three different groups. He seems to be talking about only those that make it. It's only those that will live for and die in him. Israel is used as the example, but it is only an example, and it is a type. When you read Psalm 107, the nation Israel, or the church, or the body of Christ seems as a whole to slip out of focus. And instead, we find that God is speaking directly to our individual hearts, our spirit. He's speaking to my spirit. He's speaking to my heart. He's speaking to your spirit and your heart. This is not God just talking to earth, although he is. It's not just Jesus just talking to his church, although he is. It is God talking in that still small voice to the center of your own heart. It is a radical, individual, one-on-one, deeply personal counsel of the living God to you and to me. He divides us up into three categories, or perhaps he has divided each one of us up and each one of our lives into three different separate states, all separated by time. I suspect, like me, you may have had or still have a foot in each place, and you yearn and you ache for the perfection to come, but which is not yet and is just out of your grasp. In any case, he has split us into three definite groups in this psalm, all of whom, in the end, according to him, prevail and are redeemed in him. And these are the some, the others, and the fools. So let's first talk about the some. We'll begin there. Perhaps this is your testimony of how you became a Christian. Perhaps this describes where you are right now, in a dry and a weary and tiresome land, beaten, broke, bruised, and abused. If that's you, here you are described in verse 4 and 5. This is the sum. Some wandered in a desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty. Their spirits failed within them. Then, this particular time of testimony comes to a close, or the wrestling match that this person, these some, are in with having to wrestle Satan, or worse, in a dispute with God himself over a matter or two, when Satan is about to win for keeps, or when it seems that way, or when you realize that it is hopelessly stupid to try to push back at God. Then what happens is, it suddenly is over. When the pain becomes so great that you cannot any longer sustain yourself, even in rebellion, this is what happens next. In verse 6, then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. He rescued them from their distress. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, he led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live. He finds them. He redeems them. If you are like one of these some, God has instructions for each of us. If you go to Psalm verse 8 and verse 9, it is explained. And let's just go to it. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for the human race. For he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. As the saying goes, this too, whatever it is, shall pass. He is a good God. He's faithfully loving. He does wonderful works for the entire human race. In the end, for some of us that are walking in the deepest and the darkest valleys, when our mouth is dry and swollen and our lips are so dry that the lips are stuck together, we're parched, and when weakness robs us because of hunger and because of our thirst, even the memory of the mountaintop experience brings anguish and pain for the sense of the loss that's in us. Even then, even though, even still, because we are redeemed, we give thanks in due season. We will be satisfied, and he will fill us with good things. This applies equally to all the redeemed that are either tortured to death and do not see relief in this life, and to those redeemed that are in the deepest valley known to man, but live to escape it. In either case, if we are redeemed, he pulls us through it. Let's go to the second group of the redeemed. And he calls them the others. Starts in verse 10. Quote, others set in darkness and gloom, prisoners in cruel chains, because they rebel against God's commands and they despise the counsel of the Most High. Now, with every single Christian, this either was each of us before being redeemed, or is a present state of those that either do not know him yet or have turned away from the living God. Not much or any difference between those two, by the way. If you do not know him or if you have turned away, in either case, the distinctions are very difficult to find. This is the most dangerous and deadly state of human existence, is when we rebel against God's commands and despise his counsel. As the author of Hebrews wrote, it is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Because in verse 12, God warned, he broke their spirit with hard labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help them. But as God reminds us next, he is not talking about the unredeemed. He's not talking about those that don't come back. He is talking about Christians, those of us that went through repentance and through regeneration, overcome as Jesus Christ overcame. In verse 13, then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles. He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom, and he broke their chains apart. Unquote. If you are in the dark, or you are tied down with the chains of sin, if you are rebelling against God, despising his counsel, do what the redeemed end up doing. Cry out to God. Seek him with all of your heart. He will save you. He will bring you out of the gloom and despair. He will break those chains of sin, no matter how old those chains are, no matter how strong those chains are, no matter how big those chains are. He will break them for you, because that's his promise for the redeemed. Going right straight to 15. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for the human race. For he has broken down the bronze gate and he has cut through the iron bars. Unquote. So, if you have been released from prison, then give thanks. If you are not released from prison, then fall on your knees and join those of us that are redeemed. The third group of the redeemed are called the fools. These are those that are the walking wounded within Christianity, perpetually recovering or about to earn another difficult correction by their Father God. They do not feed in the Word of God, nor do they drink deeply from the living water. They are an inch deep and a mile wide, shallow, immature at best. Their lifestyles and their choices come dangerously close, really dangerously close to losing their souls. But again, we're not talking about those fools that die as fools. We're talking about the fools that throw away their foolishness. They cry out to God in their trouble. Let's read verses 19 to 20. Here are another batch of redeemed. Fools suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways and their sins. They loathed all food and came near to the gate of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He sent his word and he healed them. He rescued them from the pit. They are fools no more. And now, as Paul said, they're fools for Christ. Let's read verses 21 and 22. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for the human race. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and announce his works with shouts of joy. Unquote. Those are the three groups that make up the redeemed. God then goes to describe the sweep of a lifetime, how he paints a long life of redeemed men and women. Here we have a sense of timelessness. We live in a fallen and a dying world where bad things happen to good people in the long run, to all of us. Here God uses the analogy of taking a sea voyage, a voyage of life, so to speak. Earning a living, raising a family, living to be old, being a citizen, being a friend, being a father, being an uncle, being a mother, being a sister, being a neighbor. This is the voyage of life. It is all the rain and all of the sunshine accumulated, all of the dust and all of the grime that happens through time and in time and because of time. Verse 23 and 24. Others went to sea in ships, conducting trade on the vast waters. They saw the Lord's works, his wonderful works in the deep. Being described there is that these people, these ones, these redeemed, have looked for and they appreciated the wonderful works of God, both in nature and in their life and in circumstances and in themselves. They're people of faith, but people of faith are no more spared hardship than people that don't have faith. It is a time of testing. Everybody goes through a time of testing. Verse 25, he spoke and he raised a tempest that stirred up the waves of the sea, rising up in the sky, sinking down to the depths, their courage melting away in anguish. In other words, they're afraid. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and all their skills are useless. There comes a time in our lives when every single thing that we can do doesn't work. There comes a time that everything that we learned doesn't apply. There comes a place where without the direct intervention of God, we will not get out. And if we cannot get out, then we go to meet him right from there. We're helpless. If we're part of the redeemed, then in verse 28 it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. Exactly the same as what he did with the disciples when he was in the boat when the storm hit. That is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. I'll give you a moment to look it up. It's verses 35 to 41, Mark 4, 35 to 41. On that day when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they left the crowd and took him along since he was already in the boat, and other boats were with him. A fierce windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who then is this? Even the wind and the seas obey him, unquote. Let's go right back to Psalm 107, right to verse 29, to pick up the story right from where Mark leaves off. 29, he stilled the storm to a murmur, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced when the waves grew quiet. Then he guided them to the harbor that they longed for, unquote. If you know him, hear me, if you know him, and if he knows you, and if he is floating your boat, so to speak, he is in the boat with you, you are with him, you are redeemed. He will calm the storm in your soul. He will. He has promised so. So have faith. Hang on for dear life if necessary. Put on your seatbelt if you have to. Grab a hold of the gunwale on both sides. But hang on and call out to Him. Verse 31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love and His wonderful works for the human race. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. Unquote. Christianity is not a hidden faith. It's not a secret. It's not something that you practice in confidence. If you are redeemed, if you know Him, you long in your heart to proclaim Him, to proclaim that you are redeemed to all that you meet, to all that you greet. Live it, show it, tell it, spread it, example it to the high and to the low. Tell it when you are high and when you are low. Tell it when you are in the valley. Screech it from the top of your lungs when you are on the mountaintop. Praise Him. Proclaim Him. If you don't, if we don't, if I don't, then even the rocks will proclaim that Jesus Christ is God to the glory of God. You are the redeemed. Therefore, verse 33, He turns rivers into desert, springs of water into thirsty ground. And there's one side of a coin. There's always the other. Verse 34. And fruitful land is turned into salty wasteland because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. Unquote. But for those who are not redeemed, those who do not know Him, those that do not follow Him, He also changes things around. He takes that which was good and He turns it into bad. And if God turns against you and turns circumstances evil because of your sin and your rebellion and your rejection of Him, it is very bad indeed. But this chapter, this story of redemption, it's not about those that stay away or turn away. It is about those that are redeemed. When a people follow Him, or when the nations follow Him, or when the church follows Him, when you and I follow Him, regardless of circumstances to the contrary, in our souls, in our lives, either here in this life or having slipped into the next life, then we are presented with the rewards and with the recompense and with the promises there. In any case, all that trust in Jesus Christ will never, ever be disappointed. Verse 35, He turns the desert into a pool of water, dry land into springs of water. He causes the hungry to settle there, and they establish a city where they can live. They sow fields and plant vineyards that yield a fruitful harvest. He blesses them, and they multiply greatly. He does not let their livestock wither. When they are diminished, they are humbled by cruel oppression and sorrow. He pours contempt on nobles. He makes them wander in trackless wastes. But He lifts the needy out of their suffering and makes their family like flocks. There is to be, at the end of the day, a final accounting. All will be settled exactly as it should be. It's like God is tapping you and He is saying, listen to me, listen, listen, look at me, look at me. I know you heard Him, but look at me. It will be all right. I promise, I promise. The redeemed look into His eyes and we see the promise and we believe Him. And there should be in each one of us, and there is in me, a great sigh of relief, because I know that it will be all right, not just as a matter of faith, but I and you will even see it to be all right. In verse 42, there's the promise. The upright see it and rejoice, and all injustice shuts its mouth. Unquote. Now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in this context, hear the word of the Lord. Quote, verse 43, let whoever is wise pay attention to these things and consider the Lord's acts of faithful love. Unquote. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your encouragement and for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Help us to walk ever closer to You. If we are in any of these states of rebellion or any of these conditions, Lord, we just ask that You bring us closer to You and hide us in the shelter of Your arms. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that you've been blessed and encouraged by the Word of God today shared by our fellowship. We invite you to visit www.theologicalfoundations.com and www.marriagedivorce.com to listen to other Spirit of Hosea sermons and to have free access to a wealth of teaching and materials from various pastors, teachers, and authors in the body of Christ. This ministry is maintained entirely by your ongoing prayers and generous financial support. We thank you for listening and trust that you will draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is John Kester saying goodbye for now, and may God bless you.